And let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for preserving for us a reliable account of the life of Jesus and his words. And we pray that you would give us all ears to hear your truth from him this morning. And we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I wonder how often you've heard it said something like this: as long as you've got your health. I guess the idea is that that is the most important thing in life. And who could possibly question that having good physical health is not a very significant factor in quality of life? However, the incident that we read about in our Bible reading from Mark chapter 2 shows that as far as Jesus is concerned, there is something even more important in life. See, Jesus has recently burst onto the scene in northern Israel, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and calling people to change their minds about God, to turn back to him and to believe Jesus' message. And Jesus has already begun to demonstrate his unique authority by setting free a demonized man and curing another from a deadly skin disease. And intriguingly, when in great demand for his healing powers, he told his closest allies that he had to go elsewhere in order to preach, because that is why he had come. Well, after his mini tour around the region, Jesus returned to his adopted hometown of Capernaum, and he found himself outside a packed house. Did you hear that? He's forgiving sins. That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.
Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to a paralytic? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, pick up your mat, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home.
He's beginning to move. What is he doing?
Oh, no, you healed him. How did he do that? Oh, wow. How did he heal him?
Well, you know, in that room crammed full of people, there was a group of dedicated local people who wanted to get their disabled friend right to see Jesus. And you see, the expectation was that Jesus would heal him, would put right his physical problem. But they got something of a surprise. The room was so full that they had to use some creative methods to get their friend to Jesus. So they climbed onto the flat roof, typical of Mediterranean-style houses, and they made a hole in the baked mud ceiling and lowered the paralysed man down, and he landed at Jesus' feet. Well, Jesus is very impressed by the tenacity of these friends, and he recognises that it is actually a measure of belief in him. So we read, Jesus saw their faith. Here was reliance on Jesus for help. Dependence that Jesus can make a difference. But what Jesus says is something of a shock. Having already seen Jesus bring healing to people's bodies in some quite remarkable ways in these early days of his ministry, we might expect Jesus to say something like, "Be healed, you are now well." But in fact, his first words to the paralyzed man are, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, you could perhaps excuse these dedicated friends if they thought that this was something of a downer. Sins forgiven, they were probably thinking. What we want is legs restored. We've come to find healing. And you've just given him forgiveness. It's better health we want, Jesus, not all this spiritual talk. But you know, Jesus shows here what is most important in life. Forgiveness of sins is the way to receive spiritual health. That is the fixing of a broken connection with the God who has made us and loves us. So here's a reminder that whilst we might quite correctly pray and long for those who are our friends and family to have better physical health, we should also, as a priority, be praying and longing for them to receive forgiveness and spiritual restoration. But those who were looking on were definitely far from impressed with what Jesus said. The scribes, those ultra-religious teachers, saw what was happening and they heard Jesus' words and frankly they were appalled. We read, "Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" Now actually, they were quite correct, weren't they, in a way? Only God can forgive offences against God. It's not in the gift of some third party to forgive someone else. So you can see why these scribes were thinking Jesus' words were blasphemous. Now, I wonder if I could have just a couple of people come and give me a hand at this point. Who's going to come and give me a hand? Otherwise, I'm going to pick on somebody. We've got one there. Yes, thank you. That's good. Who else would like to come and help me? I'm going to pick on you, Daniel. You come and give me a hand. You two, have Daniel and Noah up here. Now, I just want you to stand here and pretend to be, you don't need to act, but you just need to pretend to be somebody so I can explain something. Now, think of it like this. Right, I come to your house, okay? And I notice that you've left the door open and I see that you've got a swanky new smartphone on a little table just inside the front door. And seeing as the door's open, I sneak in and I steal it. Well, after a while, you realise what's happened. Your phone's been nicked. And then someone comes forward, a neighbour, who happened to see me do it. And you ring the police. And then the local bobby appears. So here's a local policeman. And he comes round to see me. He's got evidence against me. And you'd expect him to charge me, wouldn't you? To arrest me, to say, "We think we've got good evidence that you pinched this phone. You're in trouble." Now then, just imagine what would happen. What would you think if the local policeman called round to my house and said to me, "We know you stole the phone, but I forgive you. It's all right. We'll let you off." What would you think?
"I'd be okay with you being forgiven, but I want my phone back."
You would, wouldn't you? And you'd probably think, "Who the heck are you to forgive me? I'm the one, you're the one, aren't you, who's been offended? You're the one whose phone's been nicked. Why should he forgive me? If anyone's going to forgive anyone around here, it's you, isn't it? See the point?" Thanks very much. You want to go and sit down? Thank you. Give him a round of applause. You see, only God can forgive sins because sins are against God. And yet Jesus offers forgiveness. So here we're beginning to see something of who this man with growing popularity is. He is far more than a travelling preacher, far more than a travelling healer. Jesus can do what only God can do. Now Jesus senses what's going on. And immediately we read, Jesus perceiving in his spirit what these scribes were thinking to themselves, he said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your mat and walk'?" Now just think about Jesus' question. It might seem easier to say, that you can forgive sins, because frankly, you can't see if someone has been forgiven by looking at them, whereas a physical healing can be seen as evidence of your claim. But Jesus says, I'm going to do something that will prove I can offer forgiveness of sins against God, and then you will see that what you think is remarkable has happened to prove that I can do what is most important. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his mat and went out before them all. So the disabled man, on hearing Jesus' word, got up and walked. He had been paralyzed, and yet Jesus had restored his limbs. Now, the observers were clear what had happened. We read that they were all amazed and glorified and praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You see, it truly was a remarkable healing. Jesus, in his love and mercy, had given this man back his health. But actually, something more remarkable had been demonstrated by the healing. He had been given spiritual health. He had been forgiven and restored to God. Jesus had shown that this is the most important thing in life. Jesus can give us what we most need. Now, this powerful little incident shows us Jesus is showing himself to be like no one else. He is the divine Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. He came to preach the good news which is about the reality that he came to forgive. And forgiveness of sins is something that is possible because what the whole of Mark's gospel is leading us to, and that is Jesus' death on a cross. We sang those famous words a few minutes ago. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. You see, Jesus' death on the cross unlocks the way to God for those who would, like those disabled man's friends, have faith in him. Those who depend on what he has done and on his ability to forgive. So Jesus' death proved to be effective by the fact that he came back from the dead 3 days later would make possible what human beings most need. That is not, most of all, physical restoration, welcome and important as that is, but actually spiritual restoration to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came that he might say to those who believe in him, your sins are forgiven. We pray that you'd give us that right perspective on who Jesus is and what he's done, and that you would open our hearts afresh to him. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.